Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal Aqibatu Lil Muttaqeen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praises due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through the battle of Al-Khandaq, or as it is also known, Al-Ahzab, the battle of the trench, or the battle of the groups or the allies who came together against the Muslims in Al-Madinah. And in this lesson, we're going to go through, firstly, the battle of Khaybar, and then secondly, Fathu Makkah. So Khaybar, this is the name of one of the old cities which was towards the north of Al-Madinah. And this city was famous because of the abundant wealth and crops and farms that the people used to have there. And also because the Yahud, the Jews, they used to reside in this place. And also the city, it was an old city with many forts. And this battle, Ghazwatu Khaybar, it took place a month after Sulhu Hudaybiyah. So the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah was in the sixth year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Dhul-Qi'dah. And then a short while later, in the seventh year of the Hijrah, in the first month, the month of Muharram, this battle took place. Why did Ghazwatu Khaybar occur? For a number of reasons. Firstly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had secured the Muslims and Al-Madinah from the threat of the Quraysh and the tribes who were with them. And this is through Sulh Hudaybiyah, the treaties of Al-Hudaybiyah. So the treaties of Al-Hudaybiyah was a treaties of peace between the Muslims of Al-Madinah and whoever is with them, and the Quraysh of Mecca and whoever is with them. So the Quraysh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Muslims of Al-Madinah, the Muslim state, they are safe from them. The second group of people are the Munafiqoon. The Munafiqoon, they are kuffar, but their kufr is hidden inside them. And outside them, they display Islam. So there's no way for a person or for the Muslims to be safe from the Munafiqoon in the first place. And those who remained were the Yahud. So they were the third group who remained. The Muslims are safe from the Quraysh because of Sulh Hudaybiyah. The Muslims can never be safe from the Munafiqoon. The Yahud, they remain. Secondly, the Yahud at that time, they had already broken the treaties which they had with the Muslims of Al-Madinah. So when the battle of Ahzab or Khandaq took place, like we studied previously, it was the Yahud who contacted the various groups and parties and incited them against the Muslims. And secondly, if you remember from the previous story, the previous lesson, Banu Nadir, who were a Jewish tribe from the residents of Al-Madinah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had exiled them from Al-Madinah because they tried to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these Yahud from Banu Nadir, when they were exiled, where did they go? Some of them went towards Sham, and some of them went towards Khaybar. Many of them went towards Khaybar. So now Khaybar was populated by those very Yahud who tried to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that's the second reason why this battle took place. And the third reason is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he wanted to conquer Mecca, but he did not want to conquer Mecca until there was safety from the other various directions. So if the north of Al-Madinah, the north of Al-Hijaz, like Khaybar, if this is conquered and there's peace there between the Muslims and those who are there, then Islam can grow because the various sides of Al Jazeera, or the very sides of Al Hijaz, all of them have been secured, and now the Muslims can go south towards Mecca. So these are some of the reasons why the Battle of Khaybar took place. The difference between Badr and Uhud and Khandaq and Khaybar is that Khaybar was a city which was full of forts. And it said that there were 8 major forts that the residents of Khaybar, they used to hide and defend themselves from within. And also the amount of food and water and wealth and crops and vegetation that the Yahud had there, they could isolate themselves within the walls of Khaybar for many, many years. And only a strong army and a rich army would be able to fight them. So if the Yahud were enclaved inside Khaybar and they were surrounded by an enemy, they could remain years inside Khaybar because of the amount of food and drink and wealth and crops and land and everything which they have. So they never need to go out of Khaybar. And very rarely did an army ever defeat them because of this situation. No army was strong enough or had enough men or had enough wealth like provisions and food and drink to have the patience of years of war and years of surrounding them. So this was the difference between Khaybar and the other battles. And also inside Khaybar were 10,000 soldiers from amongst the Yahud. And then on top of this, many of them were marksmen or soldiers who could shoot arrows. And they were experts in this. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after he had signed the treaties with the Quraysh Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, as he was returning, after a month or so, he went towards Khaybar. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he only took with him about 1400 to 1500 Muslim soldiers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided that those people who had pledged their allegiance at the time of Hudaybiyah, they are the same ones who are going to go to Khaybar. And the war booty from Khaybar will only be distributed to them. And if you remember Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was allowed to enter into Mecca, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the other Muslims, they were prevented from entering into Mecca. And it was said to the Muslims that you have to return in the next year to come and perform Umrah. Whilst Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was in Mecca, the news spread that the mushrikun had killed Uthman radiallahu anhu. And there was no way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam knowing, because they are in Al-Hudaybiyah, this place called Al-Hudaybiyah. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the companions who were with him, those companions, they took a pledge of allegiance with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that we are ready to fight and die for the sake of Islam. So they are taking a great sacrifice upon themselves. Of course, a fight never occurred, peace occurred, a treaty occurred, and so the Muslims pulled back. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided that those same 1400 soldiers, they are the ones who are going to go to Khaybar. And anybody above the 1400 who wants to join, they can join for the virtue and the reward of jihad fi sabilillah, but the ghanima, the war booty on the, or the treasures will not be distributed to them. And Allah revealed ayat regarding the Battle of Khaybar. Allah said, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Verily, Allah is pleased with those believers. إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. When they gave their pledge of allegiance to you under the tree. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. And He, Allah, He knew that which was in their hearts. Meaning he knew the iman which was in their hearts. فَأَنْزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And so Allah sent tranquility upon them. وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. And Allah rewarded them with a great victory or a great conquest. And then Allah said, وَمَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً يَأْخُذُونَهَا. And Allah will reward them with a great amount of war booty which they will take. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah is the Almighty and the All-Mise. وَعَدَكُمُ اللَّهُ مَغَانِمَ كَثِيرًا تَأْخُذُونَهَا. Allah has promised you the treasure and the booty which you will take. فَعَجَّلَ لَكُمْ هَذِهِ. And He has brought this victory forward. أي صلح الحديبية. وَكَفَّ أَيْدِيَ النَّاسِ عَنْكُمْ. And Allah prevented the harm or the hands of the people from reaching you. وَلِتَكُونَ آيَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So this is an ayah for the believers. وَهِيَهْدِيَكُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. And so Allah may guide you to the straight path. In these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned two things, a victory and the war booty. The victory which Allah had given the believers is Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. The companions, they thought that Sulh Hudaybiyah, this is against the Muslims, because there were certain conditions which were placed against the Muslims. But Allah said that rather, this Sulh Hudaybiyah, in the future it will be a victory for you. And also the Maghanim, and the Maghanim is the war booty and the treasure which Allah promised the believers. So when the Muslims, when they were leaving Al-Madina, the army with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the 1400-1500 of them, they were going towards Al-Khaybar, and everybody knew about the strength of Al-Khaybar and the forts in Al-Khaybar and how rich and wealthy the people of Khaybar were. And even the Yahud of Khaybar, they never expected the Muslims to fight against them. In fact, it is mentioned that when they heard news of a war which is about to take place, every morning thousands of them would come outside the forts of Khaybar. And they used to say, Muhammad Yaghzuna, Muhammad is going to fight us, Hayhat, Hayhat. Meaning as if Muhammad is going to fight us, as if the Muslims are going to attack us. However, the Muslims, although they are only a tenth of the number, or an eighth of the number of the Yahud, with less strength and less provisions, but they had inside them the confidence of Iman and trust with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah had revealed these ayat to them and Allah had promised them victory. So they had inside them this Iman. And in a narration it is mentioned that when the companions were going with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were raising their voices and they were shouting out the dhikr. Takbir and Tasbih and Tahmid and Tahleel, La ilaha illallah, and so on and so forth. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu said, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, Kunna ma'an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi safarin. We were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey, meaning on a journey towards Al-Khaybar. Fakunna idha ashrafna ala wadin halalna. Whenever we came to a valley, we would make the takbir. We would say, La ilaha illallah. وَكَبَّرْنَا. And we would make a takbir. وَارْتَفَعَتْ أَصْوَاتُنَا. And our voices would be raised with the takbir and the tahleel and the dhikr of Allah, because of the confidence which they had that victory is coming. However, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade them from raising their voices when making dhikr. He said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, irba'u ala anfusikum, be easy upon yourselves. فَإِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدْعُونَ صَمًّا أَوْ غَائِبًا. Because you are not calling out to the one who cannot hear, and you are not calling out to the one who is absent. إِنَّهُ مَعَكُمْ, rather he is with you, meaning he is with you with his knowledge. إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ. And he is all hearing and he is the one who is close. And from this hadith is a benefit, or rather a refutation, against those people who raise their voices when they are making dhikr. So the asal, when it comes to making the dhikr of Allah, that it is done quietly with a low voice. And the quieter the dhikr of a person is, the greater the sincerity and the ikhlas of a person is, and the more rewarding the dhikr is. And the only exception to this is when it was narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he made dhikr out aloud. So for example, the talbiyah of Hajj, it is made out loud because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did so. And also the takbirat after the fard salah, they are said out aloud because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do so. As for the default ruling when it comes to the adhkar, then it is said quietly. So when the Muslims, when they reached Al-Khaybar, of course the Yahud, they entered into their fortress or their forts, and they held a position of defense, and the Muslims surrounded them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would send a small group of soldiers behind a particular commander with a flag to go attack the fort. And each time the Prophet ﷺ sent a small group of soldiers with the commander, they were not able to do so and they would come back. So firstly, the Prophet ﷺ, he sent Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu as the commander with a flag with a group of Muslim soldiers. And Umar and the Muslims, they went and they were not able to penetrate into Al-Khaybar. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu the next day. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, with the flag of the Muslims and the soldiers behind him, they tried to penetrate the city of Khaybar and he was not able to do so. And so he also returned with the soldiers. And then the third day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لَأُعْطِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Tomorrow, I will give the flag to a man who loves Allah and His Messenger, and Allah and His Messenger love him. يَفْتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And Allah will conquer Al-Khaybar at His hands. وَلَيْسَ بِفَرَارِ. And He will not flee away, meaning He will not retreat or come back. So then when the companions heard this, the next morning, all of them came in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trying to gain his attention. That I want to be that person to whom the Prophet gives me the flag, the one who loves Allah and His Messenger, the one who Allah and His Messenger love, and the one who will conquer Al-Madinah. So the people came in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of them looking at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, others extending their necks or their faces towards the sight of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the Prophet said, Aina Ali ibn Abi Talib? Where is Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu? The people said, Ya Rasulullah, huwa yashtaki aynay. The people said, O Messenger of Allah, he has some type of illness in his eyes. He's complaining of an illness in his eyes. The Prophet said, فَأَرْسِلُوا إِلَيْهِ. Send somebody to him to go bring him to the Prophet. So when Ali radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he blew over the eyes of Ali radiallahu anhu, wada'alahu. And then the Prophet made dua that the infection which Ali radiallahu anhu has, it is cured. And the narrator said, فَبَرَأَ كَأَلَّمْ يَكُلَّهُ وَجَعْ. And so the eyes of Ali radiallahu anhu were cured as if they never had any infection in the first place. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave him the flag that go out and go towards Khaybar and conquer Al-Khaybar. Ali radiallahu anhu, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, أُقَاتِلُهُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Shall I go out and fight and kill the people of Khaybar? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said his famous words. He said, "Unfud ala rislik," that be steady in your way, hatta tanzil bisahatihim, until you approach their yards. Thumma ad'uhum ila al-Islam, and then call them to Islam. Before you fight them, call them to Islam. Wa akhbirhum bima yajibu alayhim min haqqillah, and inform them and teach them the right of Allah, which is an obligation upon them. And then the Prophet said those words, "For wallahi, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهِ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمْرِ النَّعَمِ. That verily, for Allah to guide a single person through your hands is better for you than many, many red camels. And red camels at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were the most prized and precious type of camels. So the Prophet, he said to Ali, that the first step which you should take is give da'wah to the people. Not just fighting them, call them to Islam and teach them what Allah has obligated upon you. And if they accept this from you, then this is better for you than fighting and the treasures and the many red camels. And so Ali radiallahu anhu, he first went to the people of Al-Khaybar and he called them to Islam. However, they refused to accept Islam and they wanted to fight. And so the Muslims, under the banner of Ali radiallahu anhu, they fought Al-Khaybar. And one fought after the next fought after the next fought, all of them were succumbing at the hands of the Muslims. And 8 major forts, all of them, they were conquered and Khaybar was conquered. There was a woman there, a Jewish woman, whose name was Zainab. And she bought some meat to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, she had poisoned this meat. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was about to take a bite from the meat when all of a sudden he stopped. And she also gave it to some of the Muslims. And then the Prophet said, "Inna hadhihi shaa tukhbiruni annaha masmuma," that this meat is informing me that it is poisoned. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was saved. I think he took a bite or two, or he didn't take a bite. Ala kulli hal, he was saved. However, one of the Muslims, and his name is Bishr ibn al-Bara, he ate from the meat and he was martyred on that day. And on that day, when Khaybar was conquered, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he distributed the war booty amongst the Muslims, and Medina became rich because Khaybar was a rich city. However, at the same time, he did not kill the people of Khaybar. Rather, he allowed them to stay and reside in Al-Khaybar. And the agreement between the Yahud and the Muslims was that they can stay in Khaybar and they can go about their daily lives, and the Muslims can enter to give da'wah to the people and they can keep their farms and their property. However, whatever is produced from the farms, it is divided into two, between the Muslims and between the Yahud of Khaybar. And so the Yahud of Khaybar, they remained in Al-Khaybar throughout the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also during the khilaf of Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and then it was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu who exiled them from Al-Khaybar. And this was because of his understanding of the hadith of the Prophet, in which he said, "La yajtami'u dinan fi jaziratil Arab," that two religions can never come together in the Arabian Peninsula. There has to only be Al-Islam. So because of this, Umar radiallahu anhu, he exiled them from Khaybar. And Khaybar, it still contains some of the old forts which were there during that time and before that time. So that is with regards to the Battle of Khaybar. The second great battle is Fathu Makkah. And this is the conquest of Makkah. And the conquest of Makkah, this occurred about a year and a half after the Battle of Khaybar. So this occurred in the middle of Ramadan, or the 20th of Ramadan, in the 8th year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also there are reasons why Fathu Makkah occurred. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquer Makkah? And all of it links back to Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. So when Sulh al-Hudaybiyah was signed, and there was this peace between the Muslims and the non-Muslims of Quraysh, as I mentioned, many of the companions, they thought that Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, this was in favor of the Quraysh, and all of the terms were against the Muslims. But Allah promised the believers that Sulh al-Hudaybiyah will be a cause of victory for you. And Allah said in the Quran, Surah Al-Fath, "Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina," that verily we have given you a big conquest. And this was Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, meaning this Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, this will be an avenue for much goodness for you. Why? لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ, so Allah may forgive for you Muslims the sins which you have committed. وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, and any sins which will come. وَيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ, and so he may complete his blessings upon you. وَيَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا, and so he may guide you to the straight path. وَيَنْصُرَكَ اللَّهُ نَصْرًا نَصْرًا عَزِيزًا, and so Allah may give you a great victory. And because of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, Khaybar was conquered. And because of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, Makkah was also conquered. One of the terms of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah was that whoever joins the side of the Quraysh, any tribe that joins with the Quraysh is with the Quraysh. And any tribe from the Muslims or the non-Muslims who joins with the Muslims of Al-Madinah, then he is with the Muslims of Al-Madinah. And if one of those two sides is attacked, let's say one tribe is attacked, not the Muslims, but a smaller tribe who have sought an alliance with the Muslims. If they are attacked, then the alliance is broken, and this is an attack against the Muslims of Al-Madinah. So there were two tribes. One was called Banu Khuza'a, or Qabilatu Khuza'a, and they entered into an alliance with the Muslims, even though they were not Muslims. And then there was another tribe called Banu Bakr, and they entered with the Mushrikun of Quraysh. And between Banu Bakr and Banu Khuza'a, there was an old problem, old animosity. So one day, Banu Bakr, they attacked Banu Khuza'a, and they killed a number of men. And also Quraysh, they armed Banu Bakr and they helped Banu Bakr. So when this occurred, 40 odd men from Banu Khuza'a, they went to Al-Madinah. And they complained to the Prophet ﷺ that the treaties has been broken and these people have attacked us, and also the Quraysh has helped them. So as a result of the Quraysh breaking the treaties which was between them and between the Muslims, then the Prophet ﷺ, he prepared to go and conquer Mecca. So the Prophet ﷺ, he was keeping with the terms of the treaties. It was the Quraysh and the Mushrikun who broke the alliance and they killed the tribes. And so now the Prophet ﷺ, because the treaties is broken, he is going to go conquer Mecca. When the Quraysh realized what they had done, they sent Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, and he's the father of Muawiyah radiallahu an, and Abu Sufyan was a great leader and a chieftain of the Quraysh. And at that time, of course, he was a non-Muslim. Later on, he accepted Islam. So they sent him to Al-Madinah to try to speak with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to try to apologize or renew the terms of the treaties. So Abu Sufyan, he entered into the house of Ummu Habiba radiallahu anha. And Ummu Habiba, she was his daughter. And she was also the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she's from Ummahat al-Mu'mini. She's from our mothers, the mother of the believers. When Abu Sufyan entered into his daughter's house and he wanted to sit on the bed or the firash, like the rug or the rug. And as he was about to sit down, Ummu Habiba, radiallahu anha, she pulled the rug away from him so he could not sit on it. And when Abu Sufyan complained, she said, "Bal hadha firashu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam," that this is the mat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. "Wa anta mushrikun najas," and as for you are a mushrik and you are najas. And then Abu Sufyan left the house of his daughter and he went towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet turned away and did not speak to him. Then Abu Sufyan went to Abu Bakr and he tried to speak to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he tried to tell Abu Bakr to act on his behalf and go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Abu Bakr refused. He said, "Ma ana bifa'il," I'm not going to do this. And then Abu Sufyan went to Umar. And remember, all of them, they know who Abu Sufyan is, the chief of the Quraysh. Then Abu Sufyan went to Umar and he said to the same thing, "Intercede on my behalf, go speak to Muhammad on my behalf sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Umar said to him, "A'ana ashfa'u laka ila Rasulillah?" Do you think that I am going to speak to the Prophet on your behalf? "Fa wallahi law lam ajid illa dhur lajahadtukum bihi." He said, "By Allah, if I only had with me a grain, like a cone, and nothing else, then I would fight jihad against you with this which I have, only a grain or a seed of what I have." And then Abu Sufyan, he went to Ali ibn Abi Talib and also tried to plead to him. He said, "Innaka ammasal qawm bi rahima." He said, "You are the closest person to me in terms of blood, in terms of kinship." وَقَدْ جِئْتُ إِلَيْكَ فِي حَاجَ And I have come to you and I am in a severe situation. So, إِشْفَعْ لِي إِلَى مُحَمَّدٍ So go speak to Muhammad on my behalf. Ali radiallahu anhu also replied to him, وَيْحَكَ يَا أَبَا سُفْيَانٍ Woe be to you, O Abu Sufyan. لَقَدْ عَزَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ عَلَى أَمْرٍ The Messenger of Allah, he has made a decision. مَا نَسْتَطِيعْ نُكَلِّمُ فِيهِ And we're not able to speak to the Prophet once he has made his decision. So he said to him, Abu Sufyan said to Ali, what should I do now? And he said to him, right now there's nothing which can save you. Go in front of the people and tell them you have come in peace and you're going to return in peace. And Abu Sufyan did and he returned to the Quraysh. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started making preparations to go conquer Mecca. However, the preparations which he made were in complete secrecy. Even his wives did not know of their plans. And it is said that even Umar and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they did not know of the plan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go conquer Mecca. Very few people knew of the plan because of how important and dangerous it might turn out to be. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in total, he gathered 10,000 Muslims, 10,000 soldiers. And in the middle of Ramadan, he gathered them all and they started going towards Mecca. And of course, it is Ramadan. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fasting and also the Muslim soldiers who were with him, they were also fasting. Remember, they are walking and a few of them are riding all the way to Mecca. And on top of them is shields and armory and swords and bows and arrows and so on and so forth. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he left Al-Madinah and he came to Al-Juhfa, he saw his uncle Al-Abbas approaching him. And Al-Abbas ibn Abi Talib, he was coming with his family. And this is in order to accept Islam. So Al-Abbas is considered to be from the Muhajirun. Because Abbas had already left Mecca to make hijrah to Al-Madinah before the conquest of Mecca. And therefore Al-Abbas is considered to be from the Muhajirun. Also, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was approaching Mecca, he had not entered Mecca yet, Abu Sufyan approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are two Abu Sufyans. One is Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, and he is the father of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And then the second Abu Sufyan is Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith al-Hashimi al-Qurashi. And he was a relative of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the same age of the Prophet. And Abu Sufyan had three or four brothers. All of them accepted Islam, but Abu Sufyan refused to accept Islam. And he used to harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he used to violate his honor and speak against him, even though he was closest to him, and he used to say poetry against him. So Abu Sufyan ibn Harith and Abdullah ibn Umayyah. And Abdullah ibn Umayyah, he was that person who sat around Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Talib when the Prophet told him accept Islam. Abdullah ibn Umayyah, he discouraged him from accepting Islam. However, now Abu Sufyan and Abdullah ibn Umayyah, both of them are approaching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are approaching him in order to accept Islam. And these two people, like I said, they were severe enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when they entered towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ummu Salama, and she's the wife of the Prophet, she said, "Ya Rasulullah, ibnu ammika wa ibnu ammatika wa sahrik." She said, "O Messenger of Allah, your cousin from your uncle and your cousin from your auntie, they have come." And the Prophet said, "La hajata li fihima." I have no need to see both of them. "Amma ibnu ammi fahataka irdi." As for my cousin from my uncle, are you one of the two? Then he violated my honor. "Wa amma ibnu ammati wa sihri." And as for my cousin from my auntie and my brother-in-law, فَهُوَ الَّذِي قَالَ لِي بِمَكَّةَ مَا قَالَ. Then he used to say things about me in Mecca. So when Abu Sufyan heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not want to see him, does not want to talk to him, and doesn't care what he is going to say, Abu Sufyan had his son with him, and I think his son's name was Abdullah. And Abu Sufyan said, Wallahi, by Allah, la ya'dhananna Rasulullah, either the Prophet is going to come and speak to me, or la akhudhanna bi yad ibni hadha, or I'm going to take the hand of my son. Thumma lanadhhab fil ardh, and then we're going to go into a place, namutu atshan aw jaw'an, or ju'an, and we're going to die out of thirst or hunger. Either the Prophet sees me, or me and my son, we're going to start walking, and we're not going to eat or drink, and we are going to die. Meaning this is going to be upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like a hunger strike, if you will. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, raqqa lahuma, then his heart was softened towards both of them, and they both accepted Islam. Ala kulli hal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they entered the outskirts of Mecca, and before that it was Maghrib, and then they broke their fast, and then it was Isha time, and they were on the outskirts of Mecca. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered every single Muslim soldier to light a fire. So imagine 10,000 Muslims, and each of them is lighting a fire. So you've got 10,000 fires. And there was a reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this. This was something which the Prophet calculated. And this was that when the Quraysh see this great army, and then they see 10,000 campfires which have been lit, they're going to think that the number is 20,000 or 50,000, even more. So then the Quraysh, they're going to become scared, and they're going to fear the Muslim army. And also any other tribe will be fearful of the Muslims. So the Quraysh are not going to try to fight, because they know that they're defeated. And also no tribe is going to come in order to help the Quraysh, because they know that they also will be defeated. And the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this is because he wanted to deter the Quraysh from fighting. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not want to kill anybody. He did not want to fight. He wanted to conquer Mecca in peace, without any bloodshed. Because at the end of the day, our Prophet was not sent to kill people. He was sent as a form of mercy. And he only ever fought when people showed animosity to Allah and His Messenger, and they betrayed the Muslim. Secondly, this is the Haram, and this is Mecca, and the honor and the sanctity of the Haram cannot be violated. So this move of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in lighting these fires, all of it was to put fear into the hearts of the Quraysh, so nobody amongst them wants to fight, and they surrender without a fight, without any spilling of blood. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he divided the Muslim army into four divisions, and he gave each one a flag and a direction. So for example, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, and he was given the right side of the army, and with him were some of the Arab tribes. They were told to enter into Mecca from the south. And Zubayr ibn Awam radiallahu anhu, and he was on the left hand of the divisions or the army, and he was with the Muhajirun and the horses. They were told to enter from the north of Mecca. And Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, and with him were the foot soldiers, they were told to enter from Batn al-Wadi. And also Sa'd ibn Ubadah, and he was from the Ansar, and with him was the soldiers of the Ansar, and they were told to walk in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, the father of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he accepted Islam just before this, and we'll come to this at the end. When he passed by Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he heard Sa'd ibn Ubadah saying, "Al-yawm yawm al-malhama," that today is the day of the great war. "Al-yawm tustahalla al-hurma," today the honor will be violated. "Al-yawm adhallallahu Quraishan," today the Quraysh will be humiliated. When Abu Sufyan heard this, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, alam tasma' ma qala Sa'd?" "O Messenger of Allah, do you hear what Sa'd is saying?" The Prophet said, what did Sa'd say? So then the people told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam what Sa'd is saying. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied to him, bal yawm, yawm tu'adham fihi al-Kaaba. Rather, today is the day in which the Kaaba will be respected. It will not be violated. Wa yawm a'azzallahu fihi Quraysh. And this is the day in which the Quraysh will be honored, not humiliated. Meaning they'll be honored through accepting Islam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he took the banner from Sa'd ibn Ubadah and he gave it to his son Qais ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhuma. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these four divisions, all of them entered into Mecca from each side. And the majority, the large majority of the Quraysh, all of them, they entered into their houses or they entered into Al-Masjid al-Haram and they surrendered. And they shut their doors, symbolizing that there is no war. And there's only a very few, maybe 5 or 10 people who came out and they tried to fight Khalid bin Walid and they retreated. And so, Mecca was conquered without any fight. Mecca was conquered without the spilling of any blood. And the honor of Mecca, it was upheld. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he entered into Mecca, around him were the Muhajirun and the Quraysh, and behind him were people also. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was on his horse. And he entered into Mecca, and the Mu'arrikhun, the scholars of Islamic history, they say, مُطَأْطَأً رَأْسُهُ, that his head was lowered, showing his humbleness of entering into Mecca. And his head was so down, they mentioned that his beard was almost touching his midsection. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the first thing which he did when he conquered Mecca is he went towards the blessed Kaaba. And he went to the black stone and he touched the black stone and he kissed the black stone. And then he made tawaf around the Kaaba. And in his hand was a bow. And around the Kaaba were 360 different idols. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made tawaf around the Kaaba, he would knock each idol with his bow. One by one, he knocked them and they would fall onto the earth and they would smash into pieces. They were made out of clay and stone. And he knocked 360 idols with his blessed hand. And he would recite, as he was knocking down these idols with his bow, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُقًا. Allah ordered him to say, verily the truth has come and falsehood has vanished. Verily falsehood will vanish. Either the truth of Tawheed has come and the falsehood of Shirk has vanished, and Tawheed always defeats a Shirk. And also it is mentioned that around the Kaaba, the Quraysh, they had made images of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhim as-salam. And they had made images of them committing an act of shirk, like a picture or an image. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ordered for these images to be defaced. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he entered into the blessed Kaaba. And with him was Bilal and also Usamah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he closed the door behind him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prayed 2 raka'at inside the Kaaba. And then he made the takbir. And he said, La ilaha illallah. And then he opened the door of the Kaaba. When he opened the door of the Kaaba, in front of him were the Quraysh. All of them, many of them, in their hundreds if not thousands, in rows, standing and waiting to see which punishment the Prophet is going to give them. I remember these Quraysh, these are now the most ardent, staunch enemies of the Prophet. So many people accepted Islam from them, so many left them, so many made hijrah, so many moved away. Now, only the most staunch enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam remain. So they stood in front of the Kaaba, waiting for the punishment which the Prophet is going to give them. And the Prophet turned to them and he said, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, ma tarawna anni fa'ilun bikum. He said, oh, gathering of Quraysh, what do you think I'm going to do to you today? And they hoped, they said, khayran, we hope it's going to be good, pardoning. Why? He said, akhun kareem. They said, you're our kind brother, ibnu akhin kareem. and you're our kind cousin, the son of our kind brother. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, فَإِنِّي أَقُولُ لَكُمْ كَمَا قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِإِخْوَتِهِ, that today I will only say to you like what Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers. And then he recited the ayah, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. That today there is no blame or punishment upon you. يغفر الله لكم. May Allah forgive you. وهو أرحم الراحمين. And He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. And the effect of this pardoning and the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards the most staunch of his enemies from Quraysh who had remained behind is that all of them, or the large majority of them, they entered into Islam without any type of fighting. And they entered into Islam voluntarily. So the men and the women and the slaves and the free and the young and the old, all of them entered into Islam. Like Allah mentioned, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصُّ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when the victory of Allah came and the conquering, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, and you saw the people entering into the religion of Allah in their large numbers. So the men came forward to give the pledge of the allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the women also came forward. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went and he sat on by the foot of Mount As-Safa, and he took the pledge of allegiance from the men. And because of this, many of the great enemies and the heads of the tribes, they accepted into Islam. So Safwan ibn Umayyah, and he was the leader of the Quraysh, he initially fled Mecca because he thought he was going to be punished. And then he realized that the Prophet was pardoning, so he returned and he accepted Islam. And Suhail ibn Amr, and he was the one who wrote Sulh al-Hudaybiyah against the Muslims, he also accepted Islam. And Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl, he also fled towards Yemen. Then he heard about the pardoning of the Prophet, so he returned and then he accepted Islam. And Abu Quhafa, and he's the father of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he also came and accepted Islam. And even Fudalat ibn Umayr al-Laythi, and he was the one who tried to approach the Prophet whilst he was making tawaf in order to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even he accepted Islam because all of them, they were being pardoned. And then the next day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed Salat al-Duha, and then he came to the people and he gave a sermon to the people. He said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ مَكَّةَ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, verily, Allah made Mecca sacred the day which He created the heavens and the earth. فَهِيَ حَرَامٌ بِحُرْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, so Mecca will remain sanctified by the hurma of Allah, by the honoring of Allah until يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. فَلَا يَحِلُّ لِمْرِئٍ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, so it is not permitted for a person who believes in Allah and the final day, and يَسْفِكَ فِيهَا دِمَا, that he spills any blood in Mecca. أَوْ يَعْضُدَ بِهَا شَجَرَةً, or he uproots a tree in Mecca. And then he gave the Muslims some instructions. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he remained in Mecca for 19 days, teaching the people and returning Tawheed to the people. When the Ansar, and the Ansar are the people of Al-Madinah, when they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remaining in Mecca, they thought that now the Prophet has gone back to his homeland. So now he isn't returning back to Al-Madinah. So they used to say to each other, أَتَرَوْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذْ فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مَكَّةِ, that do you think once Allah has conquered Mecca at the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَهِيَ أَرْضُهُ وَبَلَدُهُ, and this is his land and this is his home, and يُقِيمَ بِهَا, that he's going to stay there, وَيَتْرُكُ الْمَدِينَ, and he's going to leave Al-Madinah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard them saying something, and he said to them, مَاذَا قُلْتُمْ, what are you saying? And they said, لَا شَيْءَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, we're not saying anything, O Messenger of Allah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he repeated, "What were you saying? What were you saying?" Until they told him that our fear is that now you're going to stay in Makkah because this is your home, this is your land, your property. You're not going to come back to Al-Madinah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, "Ma'ad Allah al-mahya mahyakum wal-mamat mamatukum." He said, "I seek refuge in Allah. Life is life with you, and death is death with you." And this shows the virtue of the Ansar. And so by this, Makkah was conquered. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he returned back to Al-Madinah after 19 days residing in Makkah. From the benefits of this story, and there are many benefits, is the Islam of Abu Sufyan ibn Harb. And as I mentioned, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, he's the father of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, he realized that Makkah is going to be conquered. So before the Prophet entered into Makkah, Abu Sufyan left Makkah to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the outskirts of Makkah. And as he was leaving, he met Al-Abbas. And Al-Abbas is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not his cousin. So Abu Sufyan met Al-Abbas. And he said to Al-Abbas, "Why are you here?" Al-Abbas said, "I have accepted Islam." Al-Abbas said to Abu Sufyan, "Why have you come?" And Abu Sufyan said, "Today there's no fleeing for me. I know Islam is coming, so I'm going to accept Islam." And Al-Abbas told Abu Sufyan that today the Muslims are not going to leave you alone. You're the worst enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ones who caused the most problem. Remember, the Battle of Badr was at the hands of Abu Sufyan, and Uhud the hands of Abu Sufyan, and also Al-Khandaq, he played a big role. So he said to him that today, if the Muslims find you, لَيَضْرَبَنَّ عُنُقَكْ, they're going to strike your neck. He said, "What shall I do?" So Al-Abbas said to Abu Sufyan that, "Ride on my donkey, I will sit at the front and you sit behind me. When the Muslims look, they will only see me. They won't see you behind me because it's dark. And I will take you under my protection." So they both rode the donkey. And as the donkey approached the ranks of the Muslims, the people would say, "Man hada, who is this?" And then they would say, and then they would see Al-Abbas. And they would say, "Hada ammu Rasulillah ala baghlatihi," that this is the uncle of the Prophet, and the uncle of the Prophet is riding the donkey of the Prophet. And then they passed by until they came to where Umar was. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he noticed that it was Al-Abbas and also Abu Sufyan. So he said, "Abu Sufyan aduullah," that this is Abu Sufyan, the enemy of Allah. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he wanted to fight him, but Al-Abbas said, "He is under my protection, my guarantee." So then Umar and Al-Abbas and Abu Sufyan, all of them went towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Umar said, "Ya Rasulullah, hada Abu Sufyan. O Messenger of Allah, this is your enemy, Abu Sufyan. And Allah has brought him to us without any fighting. فَدَعْنِي لِأَضْرِبْ عُنُقَهُ, so leave me, let me strike his neck." Al-Abbas said, "Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, إِنِّي قَدْ أَجَرْتُهُ, O Messenger of Allah, I have taken him under my personal protection. Nobody's going to harm him today." And then Al-Abbas and Umar, they started to talk between each other. One of them wants to fight him, and the other one has given him his protection. Al-Abbas said to Umar, "Mahlan ya Umar, be relaxed, O Umar. فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْ كَانَ مِن بَنِي عَدِي مَا قُلْتَ هَذَا." He said, "By Allah, if Abu Sufyan was from your tribe, Banu Adi, you wouldn't have said this. But because he's from Banu Abd Manaf, from the tribe of Abd Manaf, our tribe, this is why you are being severe against him." Umar replied, "Mahlan ya Abbas." He said, "Relax, O Al-Abbas. فَوَاللَّهِ لَا إِسْلَامُكَ يَوْمَ أَسْلَمْتُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ إِسْلَامِ الْخَطَّابِ." He said, "By Allah, the day in which you became a Muslim, O Al-Abbas, from the tribe of Abd Manaf, that day is more beloved to me than my own father Al-Khattab becoming a Muslim. And why is this? لِأَنِّي قَدْ عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ إِسْلَامَكَ كَانَ أَحَبَّ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مِنْ إِسْلَامِ الْخِطَابِ." And this is because I know you accepting Islam is more beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam than my own father Al-Khattab accepting Islam had he accepted Islam. So Umar, he loved this for the sake of the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also loved this. Ala kulli hal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Al-Abbas to leave and to come back the next day with Abu Sufyan. So they came the next day. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned to Abu Sufyan. He said, وَيْحَكَ يَا أَبَا سُفْيَانَ, woe be to you, O Abu Sufyan. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لَكَنْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, has the time not come for you to realize that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah? And Abu Sufyan replied, بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي, by my father and my mother, مَا أَحْلَمَكَ وَأَكْرَمَكَ وَأَوْصَلَكَ, how kind you are, O Muhammad, and how tolerant you are. وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ ظَنَنْتُ أَنْ لَوْ كَانَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ لَقَدْ أَغْنِي عَنِّي بَعْدٍ. He said, by Allah, now I realize, if there was any God besides Allah, by now that God would have helped me. But no God has helped me, and you're about to conquer Makkah, so I accept لا إله إلا الله. And then the Prophet said, وَيْحَكَ يَا أَبَا سُفْيَانَ, woe be to you, O Abu Sufyan. أَلَمْ يَأْنِي لَكَ أَنْ تَعْلَمْ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, has the time not come for you to realize that I am the messenger of Allah? And subhanAllah, Abu Sufyan, first he repeated, مَا أَحْلَمَكَ وَأَكْرَمَكَ, how kind and gentle and tolerant you are. And then he said, أَمَا هَذِهِ, as for this, أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, he said, وَاللَّهِ فَإِنَّ فِي النَّفْسِ مِنْهَا شَيْءٍ, he said, even now, I find it difficult in my heart. I find it difficult to accept that you are Rasulullah. Al-Abbas, he said, وَيْحَكَ تَسْلِمْ, he said, woe be to you, accept Islam. If you don't accept Islam, you're going to be fought. And so based on this, Abu Sufyan, he accepted Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he accepted the Islam of Abu Sufyan. He didn't say to him, but your heart says such and such. Rather, it was apparent that Abu Sufyan says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he accepted Islam. Then Al-Abbas said, and this is an important point. Al-Abbas said, Ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, Inna Abu Sufyan rajulun yuhibbul fakhr, that Abu Sufyan, he is a person who is proud. He loves pride. He has this thing in him because he's the chief of the Quraysh. He's a big person, and he loves to have this special place amongst the people. Faj'al lahu shay'an, so give him something. Give him some type of status, some type of authority, because he has this in him, in his shoulders. He has this pride, and I don't know if the word is correct, a type of ego in which he's a big person. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave Abu Sufyan a place. He said, man dakhala dara abi sufyan fahuwa amin, whoever enters into the house of Abu Sufyan when we enter into Makkah, that person is going to be safe. So the Prophet gave him this place, that whoever enters your house, because you are Abu Sufyan, we're not going to touch that person. وَمَنْ أَغْلَقَ بَابَهُ فَهُوَ آمِنٌ, and whoever closes his door when we enter into Makkah, that person is safe. وَمَنْ دَخَلَ الْمَسْجِدَ فَهُوَ آمِنٌ, and whoever enters into the masjid, then he will also be safe. Masjid al-Haram. And as I mentioned before, the Prophet entered into Makkah, and people entered either into the house of Abu Sufyan, or their own houses closing the doors, or into Masjid al-Haram. And hardly anybody was killed, and no blood was shed. And by this, alhamdulillah, Makkah was conquered. And after this, there were only two or three major battles. The Battle of Hunain and Tabuk, and also the Battle of At-Ta'if. We suffice with this. Wa billahi tawfiq, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina musallam.